Good morning. Today is Friday, December the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Bill Gillespie.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Geez, I didn't even have to think about saying Humble Bay Fire.
Hey, there it is.
2 years or 3 years?
It's coming up on 2 years that all the employees have been over and everything's been official.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been under the name for longer, but everybody came over January 1st, 2015.
Okay, our quote this morning, that's a little esoteric. Carl Sagan, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. That's a bit of a surprise.
Well, that'll make you kind of think for a while. Or wonder where he was at and where he was coming from.
Yeah, well, obviously somewhere in the universe.
Yep.
In the billions and billions of stars, yeah.
And somewhere there's an apple pie.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, we got a bunch of normal stuff to talk about, but mm-hmm. I thought in the first segment here, with the shooting that happened in Eureka,
right,
and the pursuit and the chase, Tuesday night?
Yep.
What was your guys' role in that at the fire department? Because at least, if nothing else, you had a front row seat.
Yeah, very much front row seat, a block from a whole lot of it as it was going on. The folks that were in the station said you could look out the window and see what was happening. Definitely, everybody there definitely heard the shots. once law enforcement had secured the weapon, then we responded in for the medical aid side of it. And at the same time, you've got multiple streets they're trying to close down. So we jumped out, like in 6th Street, right there between the fire department and the police department, and closed that for them. And just tried to help out where we could.
More traffic control kind of thing?
Yeah, we had the medical side to help the ambulance. And in fact, we sent two of our personnel went in the ambulance because the patient was critical. And then a bunch of us working to help shut down, like 6th Street, trying to get traffic rerouted. Later, we provided lighting and generators and that kind of thing for them as the investigation, proceeded into the evening, because it happened just before it got dark.
Yeah, that probably really helped out trying to see what was going on and chase and do all that kind
Absolutely.
Of stuff. Is this the kind of thing, Bill, that you guys practice? Or I know you've done the FBI, okay, fine, and the Fire Academy, okay, great. Is this the kind of thing that is the payoff for those trips?
From the medical response side, that's the typical response that we do. If it's something with a shooter, we'll go through and we'll stage. In this case, they staged at the fire station, and then as soon as it was cleared, the firearm was secured, PD calls us in, and away we go.
So maybe the tension was practiced, but not this type of scenario played out. Yeah, I would think this would be one of the weird ones.
It's a little out there, but at the same time, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more of what we're seeing around the country.
Okay, a weird one for
yes,
Eureka.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 823. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Let's move off onto the other types of things that are going on. It's kind of an interesting week that was.
It's a little bit of everything happening.
With the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Even though many of us didn't feel it, some of us did feel it. Wake up call?
You know, I think it should be for everybody to, you know, this one, fortunately, it was way offshore. It was deep. A lot of folks just barely felt it. Now, I did hear that people reported feeling it all the way into, like, Richmond, San Rafael,
yeah, North
the south,
Bay.
And clear, I heard one report, well up the Oregon coast it was felt. You know, At home, I felt it. My wife didn't. And it was just a slow roll. But I think it's like anything is, hey, it goes on here pretty regularly. We're going to need to be prepared for it.
That's right. The guys down south of Clear Lake.
Yeah.
In the Geyserville area. 100 of them.
Yeah.
All at twos. You know,
yeah.
So you don't.
Yeah.
You know, the dog doesn't even know it's going
right.
on.
Right. There isn't even a bark or a growl.
Yeah. It just is intriguing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an earthquake isn't an earthquake isn't an earthquake.
Right.
You know, things are a little bit different. I know you guys have played the scenarios with earthquakes and getting mm-hmm. trapped in the stations and the roads dropping out and
right,
all that kind
right.
of stuff. How much of that is transferable to other situations? Is a windstorm close enough to an earthquake for you that you can pick in some of those lessons and use
them? You know,
them?
It with some of it, yes. I mean, from the aspect with an earthquake, one of the things, if it's sizable and it's felt, right off the bat, we start checking the stations. We get the bay doors up and get the rigs pulled out so that we know the bay doors will open. You know, back
and the trucks aren't going to get smashed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything. Okay, we can get them out of the building. It hasn't come down. You know, it was a number of years ago. I think it was Petrolia back in the 90s where the door wouldn't operate and they had to literally cut the door out and shove the door out of the way to get one of the units out.
Oh, they didn't do like a Fast and Furious and just blow through the door?
If you have to.
Probably scratch the truck a little bit.
It might. It might. But, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the resource out. You know, the same thing like 2006 when we had that last really big wind squall that came in, you know, early in the morning. We ended up having to use door care at the station because it was blowing so hard. It was wanting to rattle and mess up the rollers on the doors so that they were, you know, starting to seize up a little bit. That and it made a heck of a wind tunnel when downtown at headquarters when the doors on each end of the building were open and, you know, it's blowing 60 miles an hour through the building.
Didn't have to dust anything for a couple of days, huh?
Cleared it out.
Yeah. How many, it's probably not fair, but what does your gut tell you? How much of the response to a natural emergency
mm-hmm.
is the same regardless of what the situation is? Flooding's going to be a little bit different.
Right.
Okay.
Flooding a little bit different. You know, a lot of it, you know, you prepare where you can. Obviously, an earthquake, you just need to generically be prepared because once it happens, then you respond to the aftermath and you try and mitigate and, you know, if it's major, you try and get things back up operational. You're checking buildings, that kind of thing. You know, with a not so much on this coast. You look at the East Coast; they get the notice 3 days out or 2 days out, hurricane coming through, and they evacuate the majority of a state ahead of it, preparing for it. And it's interesting, you know, you go to classes or you go to trainings with folks on the East Coast or folks that deal with tornadoes, and they. Oh, man, oh, I can't see how you guys deal with earthquakes. And it's like, you know, you look at them and say, I wouldn't want to have to evacuate my entire community 3 times a year.
And rebuild.
For a hurricane or dealing with a tornado. And it's really you prepare to the level that you can, try and be as the most prepared you are, and then you respond to the mitigation afterwards.
You'll be really goofy for me in that having to have the guys roll with and be prepared with snake bite kits. You know, the big boys out of the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
That are no.
No.
No,
no thanks.
No,
you know,
no.
Alligators.
But, you know, that eliminated one quarter of the country in about a nanosecond for
mm-hmm.
any thoughts down the road of anything. You know, not even vacations.
Yeah.
Maybe Sarasota.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, snakes and, yeah. So there are some basic principles. Mm-hmm. What are those for us who aren't the trained professionals?
You know, like if you, I mean, since we just, you know, just had the little rumbler, you know, being prepared in your home, having water, having emergency food, making sure your hot water heater is shackled back to the wall so it doesn't topple over. And if it's a major earthquake and the hot water heater stays upright, that's a good source of water if the water system goes down. The toilet tank, you know, don't use the bowl, but the toilet tank holds water that can be used. And just to have those, and maybe have it set up so you've got an out-of-the-area contact that you can say, hey, everything's okay, we're okay, or you can give a report to, so that you're not plugging up all of the cell phone lines and everything else.
Yeah, and then let the kid attack it on Facebook. Like,
exactly.
Have everybody talk to us what's going on. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Gillespie, Humble Bay Fire Chief. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by the Salvation Army. We have had a couple of local stories, a couple of national stories about exposure.
Mm-hmm.
The gal down by Willits,
mm-hmm,
was one. I guess somebody out by the Cabin Hawkins Bar. Must have gotten down in the creek, I guess.
Right,
and got trapped,
right,
or broken.
And couldn't get out.
Yeah. We do have our first real winter series coming through right now. How long does it take for exposure to kick in?
You know, it can if you're wet, you get wet from rain, you fall in the water, it can happen fast. I mean, just a couple of days ago, you know, everything was white and frosty. If you get damp or you're out in the wind, it starts in a matter of minutes, that body temperature starts dropping. If you don't have shelter or don't have a means to get dried off and get out of the weather. And
how long does it take you to thaw out on the backside? Let's say the gal that was in the Hawkins Bar Creek, mm-hmm, or Hawkins Creek rather, got out of the water, couldn't go anywhere. For whatever reason,
right,
had the magic matches, so she could start a fire.
Right.
How long for her to thaw out and to bring that core temperature
back
up?
It's going to take a while, because as you start getting cold, you start going into that exposure, you start into hypothermia, the body naturally starts bringing the blood to your core, and your extremities are getting cold, your core starts cooling down because of, you know, our body is just like a radiator. You know, we're made to
leaking all over the place,
and sometimes it can be. You know, we're trying to build temperature, or we're trying to drop temperature, and you know, if you get cold, you get wet like that, it takes quite a while to be able to come back. I mean, you think about it: if you get cold like in the evening, and then you jump in bed and you go to sleep, how long does it seem like it takes maybe for your feet to warm back up? You know, and you're cold, and then finally, everything gets there. When somebody's suffering from hypothermia and they bring them back in, like into the hospital, they start the warming process, but they've got to really watch it so that they don't dump all of that cold blood back into the core. They've got to warm them up slowly. And it takes a period of time in a controlled situation to do it.
I know you guys aren't really the search and rescue
right.
branch of law enforcement and public safety,
mm-hmm.
But for these folks, the mushroom picker, okay.
Yeah.
But the gal down in Willits, now, we don't know the circumstances, but
right.
she was 1,000 feet away.
Right.
Okay.
And had been in a traffic collision.
Right.
You know, and then it sounds like maybe declined medical treatment, but then potentially wandered off, or she left the scene before, you know, before personnel got there, and then wandered off.
If you are physically injured, how much does that compound the situation?
It can make it a lot worse. You know, one, obviously you can't take care of yourself to be able to cover up, get out of the wind or the water necessarily, depending on the level of injury. You've got shock coming into, you know, the picture, depending on the injury. And as the heart's potentially speeding up to try and combat what's going on in your body, excuse me, as you're moving the blood around, if you're exposed, it can be a great big step against you in that recovery. And that's why try and get them covered up, get them into an ambulance as quickly as possible, and get them to a medical center as fast as you can.
If you've had a head trauma,
mm-hmm.
or you're impaired,
mm-hmm.
I hate that word. If you're ripped or on drugs, and you get into that situation where hypothermia starts, so your mind is muddled.
Right.
How muddled do you get? At what point do you start losing the ability to start thinking clearly,
you know,
or doing some of these basic
right,
things you've
right.
talked about?
You know, with an injury, a head injury, that in itself can get you muddled enough or disoriented enough that you're not thinking straight. The same thing if you're impaired. The same thing if you start into hypothermia, because your body, the blood's not going to the brain the way it should. You're getting cold. Simple actions hit the point. People start to shiver. They, you know, you've got that active chattering of the teeth, body shaking, and they start rapidly hitting the point that they get disoriented. They can't think to, hey, if I do this, this will help me. They go beyond that ability to be able to think and care for themselves.
So,
and it can happen rapidly.
Once you start the shaking, that's really a danger sign.
You're in a danger point then. And you know, you can only survive so long as your core temperature continues to drop.
What does the Gillespie family use when you're driving to see the kids during wintertime? What do you have with you in the car?
You know, it's good in the vehicle to, I mean, there's the first aid kit, obviously, tucked under the seat. But
that would be a firing offense for you.
Yeah. You know, the fire extinguisher's in there. But, you know, it's good, especially in the wintertime, to make sure, you know, have a couple of blankets or heavy coats in the vehicle with you. I know in my vehicle, I've got matches and a lighter. I don't smoke, but I've got them tucked in the center console so that if you did get stranded someplace, you would have the chance maybe to be able to start a fire if you weren't able to stay with the vehicle and keep the heater running.
The all-weather matches?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know, if you don't...
Dipped in wax.
If you don't camp and I don't, and
yep.
you don't hike and I
yeah.
don't, well, begrudgingly, maybe a mile or two.
Right, right.
There's a lot of these things that make sense that
mm-hmm.
we don't know exist.
Right. You know, you go to an outdoor store and you can get the portable hand warmers. You can get the space blanket it's really light, it's reflective, but it'll hold body heat in. And typically those are big enough you can get two people in it if you really want to cozy up.
Or one really out of
a
bear,
really
right?
Big, yeah, one really big person. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:43. We'll be back with more from Bill Gillespie.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Gillespie. Bill, the holiday season is one I know you guys get excited about, you cringe about also. It's special.
A little bit of everything.
Special challenges for public safety folks because you know, you're like us. You got to work on.
Yeah.
Whatever the day. You
24/7. Somebody's
working.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things, the base message for this time of the year with the holidays? I know it tends to be... We could go back a couple of years and probably get the same stuff, but what are some of the things that you're still concerned about this time of year?
You know, and one of the big things, make sure you water your tree regularly. If you've got a tree in the house, as they dry out, they'll still look green, but holy smokes, do they go fast if they get a flame. Don't get open flames too close to your tree. You know, it used to be years ago, we would still see candles used on a tree. Haven't seen that in quite a while. We don't recommend it at all. Don't get the candles too close to the tree either. Keep the tree away from, if you're setting it up, away from the wood stove, you know. And like we were talking on the break there, don't take all the wrapping paper and throw it in your wood stove or your fireplace. You know, like you said, you see all kinds of different flame colors. But with the amount of fuel that goes in, you can end up with a chimney fire or with something coming out, you know, and catching something in the room on fire. We see overuse of extension cords. Everybody wants to have lots of lights going. Just be smart on your extension cord use.
How many plugs into one receptacle? I mean, because you got the plug strip.
Right.
One of those is okay?
Right. You can utilize those. That's a whole lot better than connecting and connecting and connecting and making, you know, a 3-cord, 4-cord, 5-cord daisy chain out of it.
Yeah, bring it from the other side of the room.
Yeah. Don't try and make it all the way in one stretch.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if next week can be a little calmer for you guys, okay?
Fingers crossed.
Knock off this workload thing.
You know, ease into the holidays, and hopefully everybody has a great Christmas season.
There you go. See you tomorrow night at the Truckers.
There you go.
And everybody else, too.